new season of tennis is coming.
Double deuces and the dog goes off. Oh,
the dog
man.
Is excited as we are. Hey, welcome back. Double deuces. Bago Bugo. Bugo Bago.
How's it going, man? Happy New Year. How's it going, buddy?
We spent New Year's together.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen you since, but we're here.
We're here. Episode 6, recording this on January 13th, literally a day before our Australian Open, right?
Yeah. We're going to do a little bit of a preview of the upcoming season, topics in tennis, local topics. Let's start with the fanboy. We take it as a perspective of fans here.
Yeah.
It was fun to see it on TV. I watched a little bit of, what's it called? Not World Cup.
Oh, United Cup.
United Cup. So they got Djokovic to play. I saw they paid him $1 million.
Really?
Yeah. Appearance fee.
I wonder how much they paid Iga then.
I don't know. Yeah. That's another topic. But, and I watched Breakpoint the last 2 days. So
yes, season 2. That was pretty good.
I thought season 2 was better than season 1.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit shorter.
Yeah, it seemed like it was only like five or six episodes, something like that. Yeah.
My take on it, all the Americans are really likable, men and women. We got Pegula, Coco Gauff, Taylor Fritz, Tommy Paul, Ben Shelton.
TFO.
And
Big Foe.
Big Foe.
Yeah. Big Foe.
Did I miss anyone? I think that's it, right?
That's kind of the top ones, I think.
The
ones that were on the show, if that's where you're getting at. But yeah.
I thought it was cool because you kind of get, you know, reminded of these matches. I don't care about Maria Sakkari, like, in, like, you know, oh my God, the pressure. And I know she struggles with the mental side of the sport. She's like overreacting.
She almost had a...
The coach is like telling them about this upcoming match. She had like a good forehand.
Didn't she have like a breakdown or something like that? Or
yeah.
Kind of like sounded like she had a breakdown almost.
There was a lot of that. I didn't like... And then they try to make like Zverev like come like as a hero like on his comeback. I mean, this guy... I don't think he's a good guy. I mean, I innocent until proven guilty, but I know there's some domestic abuse stuff that he's going through.
There was a
whole thing where he smashed his racket and got suspended.
I agree with you. Season 2 seemed a little bit better.
Yeah.
They kind of joked a little bit about the curse, you know, the curse.
That was interesting.
That was good to kind of use it on its face. It wasn't so much a progression of the years if, I mean, it kind of was that, but it was more like, hey, these are the players, and maybe they realized they needed to get people interested in the players and the tennis, and less time, this is a game, and it's 15-0, and that kind of mechanics of it. So I think that was good. It was kind of, I think, you know, us being Americans to end on the U.S. Open and end on kind of that rivalry that's happening with, Shelton coming up and then how important TFO was and how much of a star he became. But, I mean, just watch it. If you're a tennis fan, I think you'll enjoy it.
I really like Sabalenka, like her style of play. It makes you like really like her more. You know, she had this bond with her father, and her father passed away, and said to her, "You're gonna win a Grand Slam before you're 25."
Yeah, I guess that was
one. And,
that was something.
She's a very emotional player. I like the style of play, so I thought that was cool. You know, and they had Alcaraz who won Wimbledon, but.
Yep.
I don't know if he just didn't feel comfortable speaking English, or maybe he didn't.
He wasn't in a ton.
Want to give a lot of release, or it just wasn't conducive to the market to have someone that's not speaking English. But
that's probably it. I mean,
yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, and you know, seeing the Americans and. Yeah, there was stuff I didn't like about it, but overall, especially if you're watching this or a tennis fan, I mean, check it out.
Yeah.
It's better than the last one. I know the last one was more geared to the public. This is a little bit more towards us as tennis fans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it really still compares to like the Formula One or the golf one, but, you know, as long as they improve and, you know, we're fans of tennis, so we kind of get this. I think some of the criticisms I saw, and without belaboring, Breakpoint too much, but they did make, like you were saying, making Zverev on his comeback,
yeah,
right, and spending a lot of time on that healing part and him hurting himself and like whatever.
Making Medvedev look like this evil guy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But there's a lot of flack I saw because, hey, you didn't include any of the domestic abuse stuff or any of the stuff he's got personally going on. And I mean, if you're going to put personal stuff in, I think you kind of have to put some of that too, unless.
I think these guys have say what goes in, and
yeah.
I don't know. You can't have controversial stuff. You want to, these players. You want to entice players to do in the future. And
yeah, I guess that's true.
Do it in the future.
Because, yeah, if you bag them, then I'm not doing that.
Well, all these guys losing, and I'm not sure. I'm not up to it, but I think the first one didn't do well, and they're really committed to this one, so I'm not sure if they're doing a season three.
Something
we have to look into. You need Djokovic and Iga to do it because they're the two most exciting, and then you have really top flight guys, and then you do the young guys and stuff like that. But
yeah, well, it was a fun thing to see on Netflix.
The thing that also stands out to me is we're fans, so we're going to be critical a little bit here. And obviously we can't relate because they're so good and they've been doing this our whole life. But you didn't hear Ben Shelton say, "Oh, the pressure," or "Oh my God," he was just like, "Oh, I'm not going to, I can win this." And Holger Rune, it.
Oh yeah!
It's so funny. His mom's smoking cigs, and I'm like, all right, this guy's 20 years old. The mom looks like she's 60. I'm like, oh, she's smoking. I guess maybe his father wasn't involved in his life or something like that. And maybe that's why he's a little bit immature. He doesn't have a male role model. The other box is cheering, making noise while I'm playing.
They had to make sure he blew up, show the part where he blew up, right? Yeah. When he's playing, playing Djokovic or no? Who was he playing?
Well, the thing that I admire about him, he's like, I want to play Djokovic. I'm gonna, he's just so pumped to try to win and everything. Everyone else seems so scared.
Well, it's good to see them winning mentality, right? Not that last season where everyone was scared to play the best player, scared to play Djokovic. I don't know if I can do it. Where at least Ben Shelton and Rune are like, I want that.
Yeah.
I want to go against that, or at least get better, not plateau right here.
But I guess it helps when you don't lose whatever. I don't know if Taylor Fritz is 9 in a row to him, or he's so good, he can just take your soul. But I just want people that just don't want to bow down, and they they're out there challenging, they're trying to win. And you never saw interviews with Nadal or Federer or even Djokovic saying, "Oh, the pressure," they're just champions, they're built for it. But speaking of that, so let's talk about the upcoming season. I guess, let's talk about the men.
You want to talk about the Americans first then kind of go
the
from
Americans
there?
The Americans they came across really well in the Netflix, and it's really exciting. We finally got some good players.
We got eight players in the top, close to 50. J.J. Wolf's 54. But, Taylor Fritz at 12, Tommy Paul at 14, Shelton's at 16, TFO, Big Foe, 17, Sebastian Corda's at 29. He's been out. He must have protective points or something,
right? He had an injury, so.
Yeah. Eubanks is at 34, Mackie McDonald at 42.
Yeah.
And then Riley Opelka I had on my list, but, he just came back and.
It's going to take a while. Djokovic is still dominating. And, you got Carlos Alcaraz there. But legitimately, one of these guys can win a slam, right, in their career? And if you had to bet on it, I would say Shelton and Korda.
I would say Shelton and Korda for sure. I want Fritz to win, but there's something mental going on right now with him.
He was another one. He's he was all scared about not being the top American because the other guys were close.
I don't know.
Just hyping that up for the show, but it's like,
yeah, it could have been that. Even maybe. They did that for TFO too, a little bit, right? On the show, they kind of were like, well, I should be the one that's going in the semifinal against Djokovic.
Hey, TFO gets some momentum, US Open, you know, that's when he can be.
Right.
Ben Shelton's like serving 145, you know, hardcore player, lefty. Everyone that plays him saying how hard he hits, and, you know, so. This guy was a freshman in college.
I think he literally went from
college.
Well, was he freshman?
Yeah, he just 1 year there.
Okay, and then went straight.
The tour, like the futures and all that. Won all that. And then he, you know.
Yeah, he was on.
Yeah.
He was on some podcast a while back, and I think we talked about it before where he kind of talked. He said, okay, I'm going to try some futures. I'm going to try some challengers. And if I win, then I'm going to keep going. And then obviously he just kept winning. And so he said, I'm going to keep going then. So he just became pro. And I think he's a good fit. I think he'll go far.
I mean, top 20 already.
Isn't that crazy? He's
20.
He's young.
Yeah.
He's freaking young. Yeah, he's 20.
And Tiafoe was just so talented, and you know, I thought that was really cool. And now he's got this bond with these NBA players, and even Steph Curry was like, "Hey man, like I see you doing all this stuff. Like,
yeah,
you focus." I thought that was really
cool. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's good to see him mix in with other celebrities and sports. And that's really cool.
I don't know if that stuff, you know, gets to your head, and you know,
oh, you think
Bieber
distraction, and, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I saw he's got Serena's agent now, so whatever. You got to cash in while you can. But
I mean, wouldn't you?
Yes.
No, but yeah, I mean, he's got so much talent and potential. I think he can. He can probably do some damage. I look forward to see, but I didn't really look to see how he hasn't really played anything yet. Like he didn't play, I'm talking about TFO. He didn't play United Cup. He didn't play any of the like Brisbane or Adelaide or anything like that.
It's interesting, like to see who plays and who doesn't, because a lot of the top guys didn't play. Alvarez didn't play.
Right.
Medvedev didn't play.
I did see Shelton play, but he lost. But I mean, these guys, they want to peak. Right.
They're likable and they're good. So it's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tommy Paul, I don't think can win a major, but I mean, he is so much fun.
I feel like he's
athletic.
The last year, he really kind of like came on his own, right? Yeah. He was supposed to be like a phenom younger player years ago
and then didn't live up to his potential.
And then all of a sudden he's slugging it out with the big boys and, you know, but we'll see what happens.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun to at least have some guys that are down the road, probably two to five years. One of these guys can win.
Well, we need some guys that can get on there.
It's shocking that we've been, what is it, Roddick? I think it's been 22 years.
I think Roddick was the last player we had in the top.
I think it was 2001 when he won that. So it's 22 years since someone's won a major.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I can't think of the last after Roddick who was our.
Well, they hyped up Jack Sock for a while.
Oh my gosh! He was a good player.
He
was a good player, but really just didn't.
Contender.
Yeah, I mean, he gave people a run for their money, but you know. Now he's a pickleball player, right?
Yeah. No, they're trying to show that on the Tennis Channel, like singles, like Jack Sock. I'm like, come on.
So you want to talk about some players that you kind of think, or we kind of think are last year, right?
I think this is Andy Murray's last year. I think Nadal, too. I think, you know, Nadal, I don't know if you saw him. He played Fed Cup, looked great, and then he got injured. You know, he had surgery on the psoas.
And he's pulling out really bad. Yeah, not playing the Aussie.
Same area, but, you know, just a tear, muscle tear. Mm-hmm. So his goal was to just be ready for the French and probably just try to win that and call it quits.
But you think?
I think so. I think this
because I saw rumors about, like, he'll be ready for Australia 2025. And I'm like, really?
No. I don't think so. Maybe we'll see how his health goes. But if he can at least play and be competitive, then he'll end like on his terms. But maybe if he just doesn't get an opportunity to get on the court, he'll try to do it again next year. But
we'll see what happens.
And I think Andy Murray's got to be done soon too. Like you think? Know, like a Wimbledon. This is my last tournament. You know.
I mean, how many more things can he replace to keep playing? Right.
He's got a metal hip.
You know, he brought on Lendl. Lendl wouldn't go. You know, he wouldn't waste his time if he didn't think that Andy Murray could do this, and
right.
I think Lendl has, they've ended it, like, he's not
a coach. Oh, he's not
this year.
So does he have a coach or anyone?
I don't know who it is, but I know. Lendl was kind of part-time, and I mm-hmm. have a feeling he's done, and I have a feeling Monfils might be almost, he's almost done too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, can his feel wife that. Is still on the tour, and, yeah. and maybe, you know, they travel together, and, you know, he's got a kid, and he's just not really competitive anymore.
I feel like he's just doing it for fun at this point, right? I mean, he's just, every time I watch him play, he's either doing something flashy or, you know, for show more than I'm going to win this match. I mean, maybe that's not completely fair. Maybe sometimes he does kind of kick that competitive spirit and I want to win this, or depends on who's on the other side of the court. Like the Laver Cup thing, right? Like I know we didn't have a pod, but like there was that whole thing about, oh, I thought this was an XO, and whoever he was playing was like, no, I'm serious, right?
Yeah.
So you can tell his mentality.
Right.
What he's doing when he's playing. It's like.
They probably told him that too. So, I think it was Ali Yassin.
He was playing Felix, right? Yeah. And then he got all bent out of shape. Felix all bent out of shape. I was like, why aren't you taking this seriously? And it's like, it's an XO, whatever. Even though there's point or something, head to head, not necessary points, but
yeah.
But whatever.
So I would say those two legends, I think, I guess three of them are legends. I don't know about Monfils, but
he's been on tour for a while.
And Murray. There, I think this is it. And that's something to watch. And you know, the whole ATP tour revolves around Djokovic. And can he stay healthy? Can he continue to dominate?
37. You know, do you think he'll get 37?
He lost that Wimbledon, and everyone had all these doubts because you know Alcaraz is an amazing player, and he played amazing, he played fearless. But I don't know, he didn't really lose anything after that. He came back to the U.S. He didn't lose any matches on U.S. soil.
He just kind of said, "Hey, these young guns are trying to
he won the French
come Open, out here, but I'm going to show you I'm still the best."
Yes. So it is remarkable to watch. He has a wrist injury going into the Australian Open, but these injuries.
Djokovic's?
Yeah.
No? Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. He had problems. He lost the match in Dimonor, who's been playing really well.
Yeah.
In the Fed Cup, and he had wrist issues. But he had like a hamstring tear last year, and he still wins.
He always finds a way to win. Yeah. No matter. He's got like one of those guys, and he's always got a plan A, B, probably C and D.
Right.
Maybe even farther down the alphabet than we're thinking.
Yeah, and Nadal tried to come back, and you know, we just talked about that. And I guess you look at Carlos Alcaraz, who I think got a little fatigued. He's had some injuries too. He, you know, besides just the cramping, abdominal stuff, and you know, he lost to some guys that were
his last three tournaments he played.
Yeah.
He kind of lost, right? Like, he lost, obviously, Djokovic in the ATP Finals in November. Mm-hmm. He lost to Seffelin in Paris Masters.
Yeah.
And then he lost to Dimitrov at Shanghai Masters.
Right.
Those are the last three
matches
he's played. Now, obviously, you know, maybe he's learned from them and everything. But
right.
And he obviously had an amazing, you know, turnout last year. And he's an amazing athlete. He's, you know, a tough thing. If he can't stay healthy, he might... Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so hard on your body, being hard on your body, playing that hard.
Yeah. But he is 20.
So. But yeah, he's 20.
And he seems to be surrounded and doing the right things, and everyone's fresh and optimistic. So, you know, the only two guys that have proven they can beat Djokovic is him and Medvedev. You know, Medvedev beat him in the U.S. Open, and Carlos won Wimbledon. Medvedev is one of my favorite players. I think he's so funny. I think he's super intelligent. It seems like Carlos Alcaraz and even Djokovic now, because he stands so far back, they kind of serve him volley on him. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, if not Djokovic, you would say those two, right?
Right. Yeah, well, Sinner's up there. He's really improved, right?
But really, he looks amazing. He's young. Yeah. He's focused. He hasn't really won anything, though, right?
No, not really. He just got some impressive results, yeah. But not...
He's beaten Carlos Alcaraz.
Yes, yes. I mean, he's obviously making improvements.
He hasn't been in the
final. To his game. I don't recall. I didn't look at his record, but
no. I mean, a major final.
No.
No.
No, he hasn't.
I don't even know if he's been in a semifinal.
I'd have to look. I do not know the answer to this question.
But yeah, I mean...
But...
This would be like a year that he could do it.
He's number four, and right. I think that's a right spot for him with everyone else in the field, right? Okay. With you know, Djokovic 1, Alcaraz 2, Medvedev 3. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Right.
Before. So Zverev.
He definitely can win one. He has a good resume. Mm-hmm. He's got Olympics. He's got some big matches.
And then Rublev's kind of hanging out there.
And
but
you can serve. Yeah. When you have that big serve, you're mm-hmm. always kind of in it. Nah, Rublev can't beat any of those other guys.
He's still hanging. He's hanging out there in the rankings. So, right. I mean, he's number five.
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't know what he'd need to do to kick in to beat some of these guys. Because he's such an...
They need Djokovic to get injured. If you had to predict, I would say that Djokovic gets two more this year. What do you think?
At minimum, he gets two. He just stays healthy. I didn't realize the wrist injury.
Yeah.
But if he stays healthy, yeah, I'd say two. We might get another replay of a final, like with Alcaraz and, you know, Djokovic again, right? Which
that's what we're all hoping, right? I mean, we were hoping for the U.S. Open for that. We just didn't get it. So, yeah, Djokovic is still hanging on. When I say hang on, still dominating.
He's still hanging on at the top. Decimating everybody else.
Yeah, I think he's 34. I don't know what he is. 36, 34?
I don't know. He's a robot is what he is.
Yeah. He is just unbelievable. I don't know. Everything else, ATP, meh, right?
I mean, Kira's going to come back or not?
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. He was supposed to come back, and then he's still hurt. He's got hip and wrist injuries, but now he's like doing all these off-court appearance stuff now, you know? He's on Tennis Channel.
He doesn't want to play. He just wants to be famous. Right? And then in that break point,
mm-hmm.
when he got injured or whatever,
mm-hmm.
he was saying, oh, I don't have time to warm up. I'm like, he doesn't even warm up. Like, right? I thought that was part of it. He didn't warm up for the match. I'm like,
no, he just goes.
And then he got hurt. I'm like, all right, like, come on, you know? So
he doesn't take it super serious, but I think that's his critique, right?
He's made a lot of money. He's super exciting. He's trying to like be relevant on Twitter. And
what's it called? Part-time.
What's the gaming one? Twitch?
Oh, he's on Twitch?
Twitch.
Okay.
He's got OnlyFans, I think.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
Trying to keep his name relevant.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
I like him.
I like him as a personality. He's great for tennis. If he's bringing eyes on tennis and keeps people interested and
so exciting.
More power to it. That's awesome.
He's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a fun player. I like to see him. I actually like to see him on the court again, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But... So you want to switch to women, the WTA?
I think the whole thing revolves around Iga. I mean, I think she's by far the best player, but there's people that are right there with her. She can't seem to win on grass.
I mean, the top five are pretty self-explanatory, right? Iga 1, Sabalenka 2, Rybakina 3, Coco Gauff at 4, and then Pegula at 5.
Yeah.
And now I don't know where Naomi Osaka sits in the rankings, but obviously that's a big wild card.
She's not ranked for the Australian Open.
Is she getting like a wild card or something like that? Or
I don't know how the protected ranking works.
Oh,
got it. I don't know. Swiatek would look, you know, she was dominating for a while. I think she opened the season like on a streak.
I think she just did United Cup, right? She didn't do anything
else.
Sabalenka
put it together and she won a major.
Yeah, she won
fixed her serve and
she won the WTA final.
Hot, thing, yeah. I mean, she's a really tough player. And then Rybakina has been playing really well. I saw her play a couple of matches this year and that serves on and
mm-hmm.
she's won a major. And They were saying she was hurt last year. That's why she didn't have some good results. Coco Gauff.
I mean,
she's got confidence. She's the best athlete.
Yeah, she's got swagger right now.
Swag.
She's got momentum and she got swagger. I mean,
but her record against Iga, I don't think she's beaten her. And
no,
maybe once.
Well, that's like everyone against Iga. Either they lose or you get smoked by her.
Yeah.
Right. There's no middle close match with Iga. I've observed.
And then she loses to like the big hitters though, like Ostapenko beats her.
Oh, Penko. Yeah. Penko won like some tournament, yeah, so like Brisbane or Adelaide or ABB or something like that. I don't remember. I saw some antics in the news about her.
Yeah, Osaka had a kid. She's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, she's still young. I mean, it's going to be tough to have a kid and come back, but she can do it. Serena did it, right? She just, again, I think she just got not interested in playing tennis, and she was dominant. She was the best player for a while there.
She beat Serena legitimately, right? It wasn't like Serena was on a decline or anything. She beat her at her own game.
Right. And she's the level, she's at that Iga level of like hitting heavy and hard. Like, you know, same with Sabalenka, those three. I like the women's game. I think it's interesting. I think Iga is really the best player, but it's not like Djokovic where we just talk. It's like, all right, like maybe he gets hurt or
it's a different landscape over there.
You know, she dominates on clay, but
yeah,
she hasn't done anything on grass, and all these other players hit hard and they can win on hard court. So
yeah, I mean, it still comes down to Iga. You know, at this point, I feel like, and with a lot of people close nipping at her, and we'll see what happens. But I think Iga's got a tough first round Australian match.
I haven't looked at the draw, but
I don't think she'll lose, but she's got Sofia Kenin in the first round.
Okay. I mean, she won the tournament a couple years ago.
She should.
Sofia Kenin is legit.
Yeah, she's legit, but she should beat her, but that's still a tough first round.
Well, let's talk about the American women. I mean,
they're
fun, but they're a little bit older. Like Sloane Stephens is a major champion. When she went on that run, it was like her playing more offensive, and she just loses to players that are ranked above her a lot.
Yeah, she hasn't really made a huge impact since when she had her rise.
And then Madison Keys, she lost in the finals to her. And I think she's up there in the rankings. I think she's top 15 or top 20.
Yeah, she's up there. She's up there. I still don't think she's on the same plane as anyone in the top 5.
You don't think so? I mean, she can hit hard, like on a hard court, and she's serving well.
I feel like she's streaky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Saying. Yeah, like...
That's all it takes, one tournament.
Yeah, but I feel like she's streaky and not enough to... In her, I don't. Maybe this is just what I think and what I observe, but I just don't see her. If like any of the top five get their poop in a group, she's not
right.
There's no way.
But Coco's the sky's the limit. I mean, she's gonna have confidence. I mean, she's I think eventually gonna be. I don't know. I mean, he's young too. I think he's only 22.
Yeah,
I think Coco's. I think they're the same age. So let's get a rivalry going. But Iga's been dominating.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So that's something that she's got to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Collins had a down year, and previously she had made a semifinal.
She's kind of streaky as well, right? She can have
fun.
Yeah.
There's a new girl that's, I think she's top 20 now, Navarro. She was a NCAA champion. I saw her play like the last couple of weeks. She looks pretty good. I'm going to say Rybakina wins. And I'm going to say, really going out on a limb here.
You think Rybakina wins the Aussie?
Yes.
I'm
picking her.
Okay.
Based on me watching two of her matches, and she looked unbelievable. I mean, she serves bombs.
Yeah, Rybakina's last Miami Open, I went that night before you guys showed up, and I saw a night match. Yeah, she's really good.
She's kind of boring, though. I don't think she's... I love watching Iga, and I love watching all those American players we've seen, but obviously Coco Gauff, Sabalenka, but there's just something about her. It's kind of boring, right?
It's kind of like Andy Murray.
Kind of. I don't know.
Like, I like watching Andy Murray play a little bit, but it's kind of just...
Yeah.
It's not super exciting sometimes. He gets the job done, and he's a good player, but...
And
some people are.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I'm going to pick Medvedev.
Med? You think Med's going to take he's got a good chance. He could probably do it.
I mean, you need, I don't know, just to be fun. I mean, but.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. What do you think?
Go with two favorites.
I mean, the easy one is to go with Iga and Djokovic, right? But if you wanted to go kind of dark horse a little bit, I'd love to see like Shelton get to a final, but I don't think that, I kind of don't know if that's going to happen. No. Not yet.
I think what happened with him, people got like, first of all, he's lefties, he's tricky in the serve and the scouting and the stuff like that. People kind of figured him out a little bit. He didn't, you know, he had some trouble towards the end there, but he's only going to get better.
So you think Coco won't, what do you think? Think Coco will get to a final or a semifinal?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Did a lot of good preparation here. We didn't look at the draw. We have no idea who's playing.
I didn't look at the draw either. I glanced at it, but I just looked at the seeds. I looked at the men's seeds.
As a fan, it's tough to watch because it comes on late at night.
Oh, this is the worst tournament for us in the U.S. to watch. I'm just watching.
I'm an early riser, and I get up, and I can see their last match, which is usually Djokovic or something. I think Djokovic is starting the tournament, too, at the night session. I think that's tomorrow night.
Or tonight.
Is it tonight?
Wait, today's Saturday, right?
So it's Sunday there.
Oh, then it's probably starting tonight.
Yeah, you're right. Starting tonight. All right.
So you might catch a match when you wake up in the morning.
And then... You go, what do? You just go to YouTube, Australian Open page, or?
Yeah, usually there's a few other YouTube channels that do highlights too.
I like the tennis channel. I've been recording called Tennis Live, which is like their recap.
Oh, that's the recap show. Okay.
That's it.
Cool.
5:30.
Okay.
Every night. So that's pretty cool. So that's, I listen to podcasts, I watch Tennis Live, I watch reruns. I always have it on in the background too, but you can't look at your phone because you're going to know who won. And once I know who won, I have a hard time watching it.
You don't want to watch the match.
Yeah.
Unless it's a really good match, then, you know, like say it was a final that went to five sets and ended in a, you know, tiebreak or some crap, then maybe I'd want to watch the second half of that.
So I've just not checked the sports stuff in the morning, and then just I throw on the tennis channel and the replay, and you know, it's on in the background and see what's going on, but it's a tough one to follow.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about us. I know everyone really wants to hear about us.
Everyone's been wondering what's going on with our tennis games.
So obviously we're club players, and you know, we like to call this in the club. First thing that on my agenda is to get these courts that we play on, these municipal courts. Some are run by the city. We live in Sarasota, Sarasota County.
Yeah.
Some of them have lights that are not working. I'm going to really push for that. I'm going to write letters. I'm going to email. I'm going to call. I'm showing up. I'm going to be that guy. You know, the Parks and Recreation, the Leslie Knopes, whoever is Leslie Knopes of Sarasota is going to hear from me. So we have a court that we'd like off MLK there. That light is missing. I put in a...
Did you have checked it lately?
I have to check all these things. I put in a request to fix the light. Then we have another court, different one, where a light's out.
Where's that at?
Arlington.
Oh, man, those lights have always sucked, by the way.
So there's, the light should be fixed. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And then there's a court. It's actually near where the Orioles play baseball. And great facility, all these, like, for kids. There's, like, a dirt bike track and all these, like, a really nice park. The courts are...
Crap.
Really dangerous.
They're terrible.
There's uneven concrete and... You know, it's a lawsuit like waiting to happen.
And there's a net we drive by there when we take the dog out to walk at that one park, and one of the courts, the net's just down. So it's not in a good shape at all.
And you know, they did resurface a court, so they I think when pushed, they will do this, and we're looking to give back the community.
You do, right?
And the parks are for the community. So that is definitely on my agenda. I took a little time off playing competitively. I'm going to join the league, play singles. I believe it starts in February.
Okay. Cool. Little
feeling
ultimate.
Good about my game. I'm trying to.
What'd you change? Did you fix anything? Did you work on anything?
I've been working on the serve. It's kind of in progress. Mostly my attitude. I've gotten a lot better. Criticizing all these players for freaking out, and I just get negative.
Pressure.
Start cursing and yelling and trying to breathe and be relaxed. And you know, who cares? But you know, we'll see when the competition rolls out. Last year, I had a really bad season. I don't know. Sometimes I just go through these streaks where I just barely hit the ball, and that's what happened last year when I started the season. Don't think it's that far of a stretch. Considering who just won it is to win the Ultimate 5-0.
You can do it.
I think there's four or five seasons we get, right? Or is there four?
I want to say four, but it could be. Yeah, I want to say four.
So it all depends on the draw and who's
it depends on who joins, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You said your friend won 5-0, right?
Yeah.
Recently. And so,
that's giving me confidence.
So you should be able to do that.
What about you? You playing doubles with our buddy Ryan?
Well, I mean, obviously he just had a little one. So
he's eager to play, though.
Yeah, but I don't think he's eager to do
competition.
Yeah, I don't think. I get that sense of that. He doesn't really want to do that yet. He said maybe down the road and maybe a season or two. So I've just been playing at the club. I mean, biggest things, I guess, I was working on. My serve last year was crap.
You've gotten a lot better.
It was total crap.
How did you improve?
Well, number one, video actually helps a lot. So I could see what I was doing wrong.
Oh, so you just made your own adjustments based on the video?
Yeah. Well, part of that, video, so I can see what I was doing wrong. And then kind of realize, I need to relax the wrist, get my, the racket drop, blah, blah, blah. And then just going out with a bucket of balls and just practicing
once a week, a bucket.
But then also videoing while you're doing the bucket. So you can see am I repeating the bad behavior or am I actually fixing it? And then, after a while, finally the muscle memory fixes itself and you realize, this is the right way to do it. Then
you got a lot better. I mean,
it was bad.
A rough there for a while. And
we played.
We're not pros. We tried to give you some tips. And
me and Ryan,
we actually did some practice sessions.
Yeah. So earlier when my serve was bad, me and Ryan did this charity tournament thing, right? My serve was shit. It was pure crap. And we were playing these guys, and we probably shouldn't have went in at the level we did, but we did. And these guys were really good.
Oh, okay.
And I came over with that barely over shitty serve, and they were so mad. The one guy was like, what the F is this? Who are we playing? And we lost in three sets. I think my shitty serve threw him off, and then we won the first, and then we lost the tie break in the second set. But I feel better about my serve now.
What about singles? Are you going to play singles?
I don't know.
You prefer doubles or you just don't care or what?
I mean, I do it for fun and I do it for exercise. I do like the competition. So sometimes I'm like, but you said it's not till February, March.
I think it's February 15.
Okay. I got some time to think about it then.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe.
We got our mugs here. These are the tiers of people we beat at tennis. It's kind of a couple drops. But did you get anything else tennis related for Christmas or any new equipment?
All right. So new equipment. Let me see. Well, guys at work got me this. And then they got me a bag, but I already have a cool bag. So
we'll a tennis bag?
Yeah. They got me a tennis bag? Yeah. They got me a racket bag and they got me
wow.
like headband and sweatbands, super cheesy. They're red, white, and blue.
This was planned, or are they just kissing up to the balls?
Maybe a little bit of both. Out of nowhere, they just
and they just mailed it.
Yeah, they shipped it to me, and they're like, "Did you get it?" I'm like, "Cool, thanks, guys. That's awesome." You know, and it was just funny. You got the same freaking thing, practically in a mug.
What
though.
Type of racket bag they gave you?
I don't know. I'd have to
something like. Whatever.
Pretty. I don't know the brand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. We like our bag, so
yes,
we like.
We have nice bags.
So I'll check it out. There's times that I wouldn't mind a smaller bag sometimes.
Yeah.
To take on the court if I'm, but I kind of like my big bag. So yeah, I know it's tough, right? I still owe them pictures with all of the paraphernalia and everything. But no, I mean, other equipment, I don't...
Just take a picture of you using it, and then they'll be happy. I'm serious. That would be nice.
Well, no, that's what they're looking for. And I got sick, like,
so bring the bag to the court, have the bag, and then and whatever. When we have our beers after, you can put a beer in there. And...
it's all good. It's a good gift. There's a bear in here now, so there's
my
that.
My sister and my niece got me this, which I thought was
nice. That is awesome.
I got new shoes, so sweet. I'm pretty excited. Mizuno Wave.
Nice.
I had these shoes a few years ago, and we talked about tennis shoes, and people that don't play tennis are like, why don't you just go in a store and try them on? Because the stores don't have tennis shoes.
They don't have crap.
They have just a couple of brands that sell. They usually have a really cheap one, and then like a Nike or an Adidas. And there's so many brands out there, and there's this guy that does reviews on every sneaker.
Yeah, I think he's like the... Shoe Dr. Zach or something like that.
There's like a chiropractor guy that does it. So there's a few guys that do it. And I like to try different stuff. And, you know, we both of us like different gear. So I had these Mizunos a few years ago. I loved them. And I could just never find them.
Oh, so you had this brand before?
Yes. I think Mizuno. I have Mizuno golf clubs. Everything Mizuno has been pretty good to me that I've had in my life.
Okay.
And these are hardcore Mizuno Wave, and I really love them. They're super comfortable.
Do you have them in the right size, and you've been able to?
I had trouble finding the right size. It seems that I don't know about you. I'm a size down on the shoes, and
every company
I had a really tough time finding them, and I found them random West Coast.
And it wasn't a Chinese scam.
Yeah, the shoes. I don't know. I just like to try strings. I like shoes. I'm content with the racket. Just, you know, strings and shoes are a lot cheaper than racket, but no, shoes are kind of pricey.
So you've used them.
I've used them.
And you like
them. They're hardcore. I love them. So I highly recommend Mizuno Wave hardcore shoes.
All right. I've been stuck with my A6 gel resolutions. I always
try to experiment and go back to gel resolution, but I do have those in the clay, and I use them today. So
cool.
I think that's it for me. I think I'm going to try new strings because I bought a...
what'd you get?
I had a spool.
Yeah.
Leo is my stringer, and the spool is almost done. So yeah, when you're it's down, done, dead. Yeah. I'm going to experiment.
Cool.
So that should be fun. We could talk about that. It's kind of fun to try the strings.
Yeah, it's fun to restring stuff.
Yeah.
So this isn't a Christmas or anything, but I did impulse... So I got a diadem racket. Right, I'm a little outside the box. I don't have a
Wilson.
You have
Diadem, and you have a Wilson too, right?
I was a Wilson Burn guy for a while, and then the last few years I've been using a Diadem Nova for a racket. And I noticed Diadem released a next version of my same racket.
Okay.
So I kind of impulse the other night and ordered demos for three, because they have like three different versions of it now. So like they have a lighter version, one that's like mine, and a heavier one. So I don't know. I mean, every time I get a heavier racket, I always think I like it, and then I don't, and I go back to like the same kind of 300 weight racket that I have. But we'll see. We'll try it out. Maybe we can talk about it.
The cool thing is that you're a stringer. The thing that I learned, you get the demo and you just got to use the strings they give you. And that's not good because the strings matter a lot
with
the racket. So, just pro tip out there. Like, if you're demoing a racket,
use the
strings that you're going to use and, string, which, it's money, but it's...
Yeah, it's tough.
If you're just using theirs, they could be dead, and you're going to get a different feel of the racket.
But. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean...
Tennis Warehouse or one of these
online places? I just get Diadem.
Oh, direct from them?
Diadem, their headquarters
are... How does the demo thing work? Like, you pay, and then they refund you back?
You just pay for, like... It was like... Normally, it's like 10 or 20 bucks, right? To per racket-ish, depending on the place, right?
They hold on your card or something?
No, you just pay for that much, and then you try it for whatever time frame they give you. Because I've demoed rackets like Tennis Warehouse before, and you pay the minimum fee... Anywhere between, like I said, 10 to 20 bucks or so, and then they ship it to you, and you have like 7 days to try it out, and then you have to ship it back in the same box, and they give you a return label, or else they'll charge you for full price if you keep it.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
The other thing that I
discovered is don't just go off of one session. Like, you know, use it multiple times. You know, like, mm-hmm. you could be one night you just on or off.
You got to keep using it for the whole duration, because if you just do one session, you're right. You could buy that racket and you like hate it and you regret your decision. You don't want to do that.
Or, you know, if you're playing, play half the time with one, half the time with the other. I mean, that's what I...
Equipment's so weird, like, especially rackets. Yeah, because, like, you know...
So many brands,
so many weights, how they're balanced, head light, head heavy, blah, blah, blah.
I had arm problems and...
I got the Clash. I love the Clash. I think it's the most popular racket. It's one of the most expensive ones.
Mm-hmm.
I switched the string tension. All that just got rid of my arm problems.
It's awesome.
Yeah. but you kind of always want to try stuff. And you know, you feel like, oh, I'm a better player. It seems like if you're a better player, you don't use that. Like, they tend to use the heavier rackets when you're better, right?
Well, I think... I was listening to there's that Intuitive Tennis guy, you know what I'm talking about. He does the lessons and
the English guy.
I can't think of his name for the life of me. Any event, German guy, right? He was on another podcast and they were talking about equipment a little bit, and he's like, okay, here's the myth about pros: they have heavier rackets because they're stronger. And if they have a light racket, they're gonna nail that ball out of the fucking park. So they need the control of that heavy racket to get it where they want it to, not necessarily to, like, I get more power with this racket. It's because
but the physics behind it, the more the heavier it is, the harder you're gonna hit it.
Yes, that is true, but like, heavier rackets can sometimes...
The problem is it's they arm call it, problems or...
Well, I mean, if your technique's bad and you have a heavy racket, then you're swinging around this heavy racket with bad technique, and then you could hurt yourself. And like, professionals generally don't have arm problems, right? Because they know how to swing the ball.
Right.
Amateurs get arm problems because we think we know how we're swinging the ball. We're trying to emulate some pro, and then we're... forcing lag or forcing racket drop on serve, and you don't force those things. They just naturally happen if you swing the racket.
Right.
So heavier rackets, I tend to feel like they're control rackets. So you're controlling where you want your ball, where lighter rackets kind of come, they call it free power because it's easier and lighter to move through the air.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a whole fucking thing about,
I don't know how much equipment stuff matters, but
no, I mean, end of the day, have fun, swing right, don't hurt yourself.
But it's fun to try stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Which is why impulse buy like 3 rackets to try.
I think I'm just gonna experiment with some strings and
Did you put weight? Did you move weight around, or are you good with weight?
Yeah, so I put lead tape on the I guess it'd be 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That has given me more stability and a little bit more power, and I put tape in the handle too.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So I kind of like a balance racket. I've experimented with everything. I know that guy Carew, he says he likes the top. So
You get a whip. Yeah. You get the whip thing on the...
Yeah. I was looking just for a little bit more... because the Clash is super light, so I wanted a little bit more stability with it, and that's why I did that.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, that's cool. I mean, you got to experiment. Yeah. It's a pretty inexpensive way to
lead tape is not
make some changes to your racket without being able to go buy another one and see if that works, or that's expensive.
Yep.
So that's cool.
All right. I guess that's it. So that's excited it. For, I guess we'll try to do more. I think we only did a couple last year.
The goal's more than two.
I mean,
hey, if we go to Miami Open, we'll probably have to bring a camera and at least do one. Like, maybe that, you know, whatever, on site ish.
Well, all right. Excited for a new season, pro, our season.
Yeah.
Good luck to everyone out there.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Thanks for watching. Like, share, subscribe, comment. And
let us know if you want us to talk about it.
Yeah. there something you want us to talk about? Some topics and from two guys who have a camera and time in their hands, love to play tennis and watch tennis. We'll talk about it. Sure. All right. Thanks for watching, guys.